title of the message this morning is It's Time to Go. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to go.
Time to go.
No, I don't mean like time to pack up and go. Now sit down. It's time to go. Amen. We'll get there. What have you heard people talking about this week? You're at work, wherever you're at. Russ, check the air over there. I don't want to get too hot. It seems like it's getting a little warm. Maybe it's just me. What have you heard people talking a lot about this week?
You want me to tell you what my son is on?
Sick dogs.
Sick dogs? What?
About the prediction of the earthquake out on the...
I've heard about that this week. I've heard that this week, the prediction of the earthquake, of the tsunami, of the... What was that movie about? What was the name of that movie? It's like an earthquake and half California goes out.
San Andreas.
San Andreas, that was the name of the movie.
So many people, so many
other
people.
My mom said, sick dogs. I found out this week that my dog has cancer. Or maybe had cancer. We've been praying for him. May the Lord may just heal him. But you know what? That hit me like a ton of bricks. That little guy, he loves me so much. He just follows me around everywhere I go. He's been sick, and we had kidney stones, so we had them taken out, and they were talking about how uncomfortable they were. Y'all can't see it, but here's a picture of Emery, and he's sitting right there in your seat. So can you see him? He's sitting right there in your seat. See, I come in here sometimes and just cut the keyboard on, and I'll just worship, and I'll bring my dog, and he always jumps right up in that anointed seat right there on it, right there, and he'll just sit and listen to me worship and just watch. You know why? Because he just wants to be in my presence. He just wants to be in the presence of the master. Because I'm his master. He just wants to spend time with me. And I was taking Christmas boxes. You know, y'all that know Marion know she loves Christmas. And I'd be taking probably 25 trips, wasn't it, Don? We took trips up and down the stairs. Don helped me a lot. And Emery would follow me down them stairs. And I'd go back up, he'd follow me back up. You know that song, don't you? With Miley. And he just wants to be around me. But boy, I tell you, when I heard he had cancer, he was at the animal hospital across the street. So I went to pick him up, and I got to the desk, and I said, I'm here to pick up Emery. And she started crying. Tears filled her eyes, and she said, he's so sweet. I just lost it. Here's a grown man just standing there crying. And the Lord just spoke to me. I picked the little guy up. I said, you want to go to church? Boy, he starts wagging that tail. He knows we're church. He loves to come over here so he can go wet on all the bushes, you know, and then come in here and sit and listen to me play. But my heart was broken. And I thought about all the people that are dying and going to hell. And is my heart broken for them? I heard this week about Pastor Kenneth up at New Horizon Baptist Church. He's 32 years old and has brain cancer. It's at the stem of his brain stem. We heard this morning about Beth's uncle that has leukemia. Does it break our heart? Does it break our heart for the lost? Like it did when I heard about Emery this week. You know what they've been talking about at work all week? The lottery. That's all they've been talking about. They went and took up a collection yesterday. We only had 70 people at work yesterday. 63 of them bought a lottery ticket. Just one ticket. 63 of them. They went in together. Now, I'm just telling you, if one of those 63 wins, they already figured it out. It's $8.8 million after taxes. We're going to have 63 people on one shift quit.
Nobody It's still rolling over. Hallelujah. I probably still got a job then. Because I figured everybody quit when we had to shut the doors. But that was all the buzz about the lottery. I saw where a lady drove 3 hours. There's 6 states that don't have the lottery. So 6 people, 6 states that don't have it. So this lady had driven 3 hours to go across to the next state to buy lottery tickets and had to stand in line for 3 hours because so many people from the state had driven over. So she had waited 9 hours, 3 hours there, wait 3 hours, 3 hours back to buy lottery tickets to be the next billionaire, supposedly. What's important? Before I forget it, we're going to start a women's Bible study next Sunday, if we have commitment. A couple of y'all have already taken it. It's going to be Beth Moore's Daniel Bible study. It's video, Beth Moore, and it's really, it's really good. Some of the ladies have taken it. Mira's taken it. Marion's taken it. You, Sally, they've offered to do it again, to bring it if the women are committed to doing it. The men are meeting at 9 o'clock on Sundays. The kids will be meeting. Listen, us men will find a room if we have to. We'll squeeze in the bathroom back there and put seats around there. God will make a way. We'll find a place to meet, won't we? We have to. We'll meet in the kitchen. The ladies can do the video in here. We've got enough room, but we've got to have commitment. That's why the sermon is, it's time to go. It's time to go. Our life should be a living witness. Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall we call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?" You're a preacher. You're a preacher. You're a preacher. We're all, if you have a mouth and you can speak and you can talk about the Lord, you're a preacher of his word. A survey was given at a Billy Graham crusade years ago in the city of Detroit, Michigan. One question was asked, "What is your greatest hindrance to witnessing?" What is your greatest hindrance? 9% said, "We're just too busy. We're too busy to remember to do it." 28% felt that they just didn't have, they lacked the real information to share. 12% said their lives just where they really aren't where they should be. And 51% said the greatest problem was the fear of how the person would react, the fear of rejection. Remember the message I preached last week on what to do with your burdens? And I told a story about Roger Simmons. It was picked up in the Army. He was hitchhiking. And the guy who picked him up, his wife had been praying for him and praying for him for 25 years to be saved. And the Lord had even spoke to her and said that it would be okay. This was after World War II. Roger Simmons picked him up and he said the Holy Spirit pricked his heart to say something to that man. So he finally went for it, and he said, he told him about the plan of salvation, and that guy pulled his car over, wept on the steering wheel, and gave his heart to the Lord. He couldn't wait to get home to tell his wife, but guess what? He never made it home. He had a car accident and went into eternity. That was his last chance. What if Roger Simmons had not said something? What if Roger would have been one of these 51% that said fear of how the person would react was their greatest problem? What if it was in the 9% that just said, you know, we're just too busy to do it? I was going to have Allie sing a song if she could come today. She wrote a song called "You and You Alone." I will serve. Everyone say serve.
Serve.
Say I will serve.
I
will serve you and you alone. No idols before me. I'm not going to be in that 9% that says I'm just too busy. No idols before me. I'm going to serve you. I lay down before you as a servant. I will stay true. And with joy I will bow down and bless your name. I receive your affections and in abundance in abundance, I overflow to serve you and you alone. I will serve you and you alone. He doesn't equip, he doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And we're all called. The fear of rejection, embarrassment, maybe you might be labeled as a fanatic. You might be thought of differently or not liked. Billy Graham said, a witness is no braver than anyone else. He's just braver for about 10 seconds longer. A witness is not any braver than anyone else, but just brave for 10 seconds longer. So just open your mouth. And quickly, I'm going to give you a 5-point plan this morning on how to do this. Number one, ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's number one. Peter, he was afraid at the crucifixion. He ran for his life. He kind of cowered down. He went and warmed himself by the fire, and a woman recognized him, and he said, "No, I don't know that Jesus." He said it again. I don't know him. The third time, he even said a little wordy dirt, a dirty word, you know, and said, just for emphasis, just to let you know, blankety blank, I don't know him. Now, that happened around John chapter 18, maybe, somewhere around there. Toward the end, there's only 21 chapters in John. It was somewhere around 18. But in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says Peter spoke boldly. Peter spoke boldly. 3,000 were saved. What happened between, say, John chapter 18, which is around page 1609, what happened between there and Acts 4, which is 1631? What happened in those 21 pages? Acts 2 happened. That's right. You got it. Acts 2 happened. That's what happened. The Holy Spirit came. That's what made the difference in Peter from when he went from being afraid to where he spoke boldly. He was filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God. That's what made the difference. How can you be filled? It ain't complicated. You got to ask. Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? It's a promise. He's promised to do it. So all you got to do is ask, and he'll fill you. So number one.
And believe.
And believe. And trust. And we're getting there.
Believing.
Ask believing and trusting. And we're going to get there. Number two is pray earnestly about your fear. Pray earnestly about your fear. Turn to Psalm 34:4. 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from a few of my fears. No? Let's see. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from most of my fears. All. Is that what it says? All? Wow. So you pray earnestly. Number two, I sought the Lord, he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. So you're saying, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he's going to take that fear away. You seek the Lord and earnestly ask him. How about Romans 8:15? You have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen? 2 Timothy 1:7, I like that. He has not given us the spirit of fear, or you may have timidity in your Bible. He's not given us that spirit of timidity, but of boldness, of power, and love, and a sound mind. He's given us that spirit. It's just that we got the Holy Spirit over here, and we got the enemy over here speaking in the other ear, trying to say, oh, no, you need to fear. What about, Rick? Remember I said last week, Roger Simmons, he might have been fearing that, hey, he was getting a free ride home. And if he makes this guy mad driving this black sleek Cadillac,
this apparently successful businessman might pull over and kick him out. But he said, man, the Holy Spirit just would not let him go, and he was only 30 minutes from home, and he said, I'm going for it. And hallelujah, he got one in the kingdom. So number one, be filled with the Spirit. Number two, pray earnestly about your fear. Ask the Lord to take that from you. Number three, well, this is a big one. Remember I said there was a big portion of the people, what was it, 28%, lacked the information to share. So number three is memorize a good soul winning plan. Listen, God loves all people. God loves all people. What's the verse? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loves all people. But guess what? All people are sinners. Are they not? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So he loves all people, but all people have sinned, is number two. Sin must be paid for. Sin must be paid for, because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God loves all people, but all people are sinners. Sin has to be paid for. Guess what? Jesus paid the debt. Jesus paid it. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he loves all people. All people are sinners. Sin's got to be paid for. Jesus paid the debt. And here comes the believing. Trust. Trust him as your Savior. Romans 10:13. For everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or my favorite's Acts 16:31. It says, believe. You've got to believe, which in the Hebrew is trust. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust on him. Trust in him. And you will be saved. You've got to live it. You've got to show some fruit. So number one, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, earnestly pray about your fear. Number three, memorize that. Memorize that soul winning plan. If you can't memorize it, get you a little Gideon New Testament, and it's the Roman road. It'll have the verses in the back for you. Number four, claim God's presence as you go. I put me a little note here about my dog. That's where I was going to talk about his presence and how. You know, why did God put dogs down here? He didn't put them down here to eat. He ain't eating them. What did he put them?
To bless us.
Listen, I just got this message this week, just looking at how my dog wants to just be by my side every morning. Right now, if Marion were here, her dog would be on the bed. She puts a sheet over the entire comforter and everything so he can get up there. And she leaves the windows, the blinds open, and the curtains open, because he will lay there till she gets back. And he's looking out down the road for her. And you know what his thoughts are on? His master. His thoughts are on his master. Now listen, I will be talking with her on the phone, and she'll say, I'm in deep woods. And before she even gets to the neighbor's house, he hears the engine of the car. He's going to have to learn the new one. But on that Explorer, he will take off. I took a video of it on my phone the other day. They go bananas. He is so excited that the master's home. Boy, does God want us to be like that. He's made us in his image. He wants us to be so excited. He wants us to have a prayer on our heart. Pray without ceasing. He wants us to be thinking about him at all times. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations,
baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. Claim that promise. Claim it. He puts us in specific places for a purpose. You're where you're at to minister to other people. Since Marion's not here, it's easier to minister in our neighborhood because we've got a lot more neighbors. If we were on a farm, we'd be out there and there wouldn't be nothing but camels and stuff, so wouldn't be as many people, amen. But you're in that job or in that school, in that class, you're uniquely qualified to reach a circle of people that no one else can. And what's your job purpose? You're not there to be an attorney. You're not there to sell insurance. You're not there to teach in school. You're not there to be a mechanic. You're there to be a witness. Whatever job you've got, whether it's driving a vehicle, making phone calls, digging a ditch, crunching numbers, serving a meal, running an errand, stocking shelves, that's just making going to work all the more worthwhile. God's given us divine appointments. And how many times are we ashamed to mention His name? Or how many times are we afraid what somebody will think about us? James 2, I'm going to read about 7 verses here. James 2, 20 through 26. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see, the faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. And number 5, don't be afraid of making mistakes. The biggest mistake is not to say anything. God will still use your witness even if you make a mistake. Just open your mouth and He will fill it. Amen. God does His best work despite us. Mike, are you able to play a song on YouTube on your phone? Yes, Shadow of the Steeple. I'll tell you when to hit play. The Lord put this song on my heart days ago. I shared it with Marion because it's a song that we used to sing back in the 80s. A Southern Gospel group I hang out with on Mondays here. We sang with a group called the Singing Americans back in the 80s over at East Junior High School. And this is the same group that's going to be singing it. I want you to listen to the words, because it talks about us just walking by people on the street. Maybe they're homeless or whatever. And they're in the, quote, the shadow of the steeple of the church. They're right beside us. And we don't even see them. We don't pay attention to them. It talks about people walking by on the way to church with Bibles in their hands, but really not paying attention. The last verse talks about, it says, the cold blue steel he touches fast, and he points it to the place where the shadow of the steeple is resting on his face. He feels the sting, the church bells ring as he stumbles and goes down. People just walk away from the figure on the ground. That's not the Great Commission, church. After I'd already finished my message, had it in the notes, I got a text yesterday from Kelly saying Shannon's friend. Her and her autistic son came and found their daddy, their husband, and committed suicide. That's what this song is about. And it's happening every day in the shadow of the steeple. 2 years ago, a guy committed suicide right there at that convenience store, right there in the shadow of the steeple, so to speak, of this church. Cody Barker, that I worked with for years, was murdered right beside Clinchfield Baptist Church in October, right in the shadow of their steeple. Are we reaching anyone? Are we even trying? I wish Pam was here this morning. She couldn't come. She was here last Sunday. My cousin Pam Boyd, she owns this trailer park next door. Her and her husband, they own the whole trailer park, the campground. There's, me and Don drove through that yesterday. There's got to be over 100 campers and trailers over there. And Deanna used to go to a church that they had over there, and now there's no church. But Pam, a year and a half ago at Easter, it'll be 2 years this coming Resurrection Sunday, had 80 kids there. Well, I've went over there. Richard Lavender and I have went over there. Mary and Stefan, Susan's went over there knocking on doors, haven't you? And not had any success, really. Maybe we've watered some seed. I got to pray with a few people. But Pam knows them. Pam owns the place. They know her. They love Pam, don't they, Deanna? Pam said, let's go. Let's get them in. Let's do so. It's time to go. It's time to go. Time's getting late. You know, sometimes we build denominational walls, but it seemed like when we were in the Baptist church, there was such an emphasis on evangelism and evangelism and evangelism. Just sing two or three songs, first, second, last verse, and dress up, and then let's go. But put some works to your faith, you know. And we get in, you know, the charismatic or the Pentecostal or whatever you're going to call it, Church of God, Spirit-filled denominations. Man, we want to worship. We want to just kind of take the tie and the suit off, you know, be comfortable. And say, well, if they're supposed to be here, the Holy Spirit will bring them in. Mm-mm. We've got to put some legs on, and it's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to go out in highways and hedges and compel them to come in. It's time for people to stand up and say, listen, I'll help with the kids. I'll take a week every couple months and help out. Mary and Stefan shouldn't be back there by herself every week, and not getting to hear the message. She said yesterday that she would be, the message is being recorded somewhere around here. Russ is recording this morning. And Marion's going to start putting them online so people that if you miss, you can go and you can listen to the sermon. We got one last year put on. We got one the year before. Bless the Lord, I don't want to miss any this year. We've got that. We've got a website. We've got access. We need to get the word on there. Amen? And we need people that will step up and say, I want to be on the football field. I'm tired of sitting on the sideline, being on the team, but sitting over here on the bench watching the game. I want to be out on the field. I want to be first string. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
There we go. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Let's play that.
Sunday morning sunshine, bathing the land. Sunday morning people with Bibles in their hands. He wonders why they pass him by, walk around him on the street, to shade the light that replaced the night. He cups his hand to see. In the shadow of the steeple, someone's crying. Does anybody care? Can you hear him crying? In the shadow of the steeple, someone's crying. Preacher tall about the knees in a distant land. He said his folks are dying over there. We need to lend a hand. It's getting late, let's pass the plate. Just do the best you can. And then the congregation rises for their final amen. While in the shadow of the steeple, someone's crying. Does anybody care? Can you hear him crying? In the shadow of the steeple, someone's crying. Steel, he clutches fast and he points it to the place where the shadow of the steeple is resting on his face. He feels the sting, the church bells ring as he stumbles and goes down. The folks just shake their head as they walk away from the figure on the ground. In the shadow of the steeple, someone's dying. Nobody cares, nobody heard him crying. In the shadow of the steeple, someone's dying.
Line, he said, don't let the shadow of your steeple find someone crying. That guy used to be a friend of mine years ago. He still lives in Morganton. If you've ever heard of Burke Bus Lines, Dwayne Burke that sang that. His dad owned the bus line. Dwayne now is a driver for Christian Tours. Bill Wyatt that sang here took a trip to New York, and Dwayne was his bus driver. Dwayne's got a great voice. But that message is so true. And when I saw Pam, I said, you know, about a year and a half ago, I went through the trailer park and I actually got to pray with a couple people. I said, I saw a bunch of kids just playing outside, and one looked like they got hurt and was crying. And I walked up to them, and this lady was bedridden, and she was babysitting three kids, and her basically bedridden. And I said, can I go in and speak with your mom? And I think it was just a babysitter keeping them. And opened the door and got attacked by four chihuahuas. All dogs go to heaven, but I'm not sure chihuahuas are there. Those dogs were crazy. And they said, they're not going. They said, they went back and talked to her, and they said, yeah, she said, come on back. And Richard wasn't with me this time. I was by myself, and I really felt weird about going back into a bedroom to meet somebody I had never met, you know, by myself. And I got back there, and it was an older lady, very, very heavy set. And she couldn't get out of her bed, really. I asked her if I could pray for her, and she was so open. Yes, I would appreciate your prayers, and will you pray for me? And I did, and I prayed, and I was really just kind of in a hurry to try to get out of there because I just felt weird about being in a lady's bedroom, you know. But I asked Pam, I said, how's that lady doing? She said, you know, she died about a year ago. I thought that wasn't long after I was there. I thought,
I should have asked her. She seemed like she's ready to go. You never know. You never know till you ask somebody. You know, say, are you ready? There's nothing wrong with that. Open your mouth and ask, are you ready to go? Because listen, when people die, oh boy, they're the most wonderful. They're angels now. They're in heaven. Everybody died. You know, it makes me look forward to dying because people's going to be saying good things about me. But seriously, be on the lookout. We've talked about this. Divine appointments, they're everywhere. Ask the Lord for it. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Get rid of them fears. Memorize that plan. John 3:16. If you can't remember that in Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, just remember, God loves all people. All people are sinners. Sin has to be paid for. Jesus paid for our sins. Now trust in Jesus. Okay? That's the plan of salvation in a nutshell. It's easy. There are so many things at this church that we need help with. We've got a van sitting out there that hasn't had anybody in it in a year. I'm calling this week, Russ. I already talked to May Lackey. I'm going to tell her, go ahead and do it. She's already got the sign ready to do it. It was just whether it's going to be a magnet or whether it's going to be stick-on. Prophetically, I think we need to go ahead and put our name on it. Let's go. And make the plans to have it filled up. Drive that thing through. Let Pam introduce us to some folks and fill that thing with kids and bring them in. I've probably got hundreds of these. I got a stack
this big
of numbers and letters taken off that sign that need to be filed. Take a half hour to file them. I need to be doing other things instead of filing numbers. We need to be putting some stuff on the sign out there. I was going to put, what if you won the lottery but lost your soul? Listen, I never bought a lottery ticket. I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. I don't think there's nothing wrong with if I'd have gave them $3 yesterday and said, yeah, put me in with the 63. There's 63 of them at work, bought lottery tickets out of 70 yesterday. I didn't, but I just don't think it's smart. You know. But we have so many positions that we need to fill. We need some greeters. We need some people that'll do marketing. We need some help with a website. I've heard Papa Jay say before about asking your pastor for your vision. If he's not got one, he'll get one, right? Well, we've got a vision. We've got some things. We just need some laborers. We just need some people that'll say, what can I do? Amen? All right? Listen, thank you for your prayers. Pray for me today as I go down.
Whoa!
As I go down on the floor almost. As I go down to the rest home there at Deer Park and pray with that family and keep Lorraine in your prayers, Sandy's mom. Remember Marion who's sick. Remember the Wilkinson family. Remember Beth's uncle,
Gerald,
her uncle Gerald. Remember Shannon's friend, Angel. A lot of prayer requests. Amen. Let's stand.